Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on when you're listening to this. Welcome, bienvenue, willkommen, bienvenidos, benvenuti, benvindo, welkommen, tervetuloa, and if you're Estonian, tervetulemast, to the second Eskbet podcast. Today we'll be discussing the songs from the second half of the first semi-final. My name's Andy Redburn. On the website, I write as Scandi Andy, so you can call me Andy, Scandi, Scandi Andy, or you can take after my Finnish friend Tarja, who just calls me Twatboy. Who have we got today? Well, once again, we have the head honcho, the main editor, the co-founder of this site. He's the winner with the voice of Frank Skinner. It's Gavin Lambert, Gavster. How are you, Gavin?
I'm very well today, thank you.
And our second guest is our very special guest. We're very grateful to Rob Ferber from entertainmentodds.com. Rob, welcome.
Hi, Andy. Yeah. Hi, Gav. Thanks for inviting me on.
No problem.
That's our absolute pleasure, and thank you for making the time. Tell us about entertainmentodds.com.
Yeah, entertainmentodds.com is a TV betting analysis website. It was launched in August 2009, mainly in response to the boom in reality TV betting and the fact there weren't any other websites out there at the time offering in-depth analysis on the big TV betting events.
Indeed. So how's it gone so far for your site? You just do analysis. You don't take bets or anything like that.
No, it's just the analysis. Things are going great. The traffic is increasing all the time. Eurovision sees a very big spike in traffic, and it's sort of become the centerpiece of the coverage on the site. And I should just add, the methodology of entertainmentodds.com is founded very much on the concept of betting value. And I'd like to think the site's track record speaks for itself in consistently unearthing decent price winners.
Well, excellent, excellent. Gentlemen, shall we get on with the business of the day?
Let's move on. Do you want to explain the business of today?
Well, the business of the day, as I've said, we will be discussing the songs in the second half of the first semi-final of this year's Eurovision, which involved Lithuania, Belarus, Moldova, Ireland, Cyprus, Belgium and Serbia. But first, well, think of this as Rambo Amadeus on LSD. For Montenegro, it's who see, who you, who me, no, who see. With Igranka.
Što neće prestat dok ženska treska komad mesna vrućina kao u rernu na 200 odosmo s mozgom stroboskop ljecka biko blesav po glavi šiba pregore kesa piće mi sipaj gradele česam petrusin riba danu svega da se pokidam i vodi me neđe da glavu produvam.
Rob, we'll start with you. You're the newbie. What are your thoughts about this song in general and its chances?
Yeah, I'm not really down with the kids these days, Andy, but I'm reliably informed this is hip-hop dubstep. I think it's a decent tune and has potential standout appeal. Actually, I flagged this up on the site last week as a value qualifying bet. It was available at the time at 4.7. It has been backed in since.
Really? 4.7? Okay.
Yeah. It involves a bit of guesswork at the moment, but Husey are an established act in the Balkans, and Nina Zizic appears to have a good live vocal. So I think it'll be well performed. It kicks off the second half, which is no bad thing. And
I
think it could really leap out if they can bring the energy of the track to the stage. I think it's quite contemporary in Eurovision terms and should get some jury love.
Would you agree with that, Gav? Jury love for Montenegro?
Well, where does one start for this song? Raps don't tend to do well in Eurovision. Greece were the last country to achieve a strong finish, and that was mainly due to its operatic elements. Montenegro are first in the second part of the running order. It is a lively start, but certainly a puzzling start from SVT. Perhaps this is their method of ensuring Husi don't make the final. And despite apparent Balkan popularity, the Nice genre is sure to achieve consecutive non-qualification for Montenegro. The rap element kills it for me. The main female vocalist, yeah, she's brilliant, but it's the rap. It's disjointed. I have seen some live footage. It's not good. It's not good at all.
I know what you mean. And when it comes to Balkan popularity, they've really not picked a good year to enter an act popular in the Balkans. Because who they got there? They've got Serbia. And they'll doubtless get big points from Serbia. Quite frankly, when I first saw this and first listened to this, it's kind of like a car crash. You don't want to see it, but you can't help watching. I'm not a big rap fan myself, but this was just, it was a good word you used, Gav, disjointed. Although, whether they will go with a big breast theme in Malmö, as they seem to do in their video, that might get certain voters, let's say 38-year-old voters living in London. I'm sure the stage show will be good, her vocals are good. I think it might just qualify, but no, I don't like it. Okay, we've got to move on. The next song is from Lithuania. Something. It's a very famous song written by George Harrison in 1969 on the Beatles' Abbey Road album. Actually written about his then wife, Patti Boyd. She also had a song later written about her by Eric Clapton after he snatched her off George Harrison. I don't know if Andreas Pojarvis has ever met Patti Boyd, but here's his version. It's Andreas Pojarvis for Lithuania with Something.
If you don't know, I'm in love with you. When summertime falls, it becomes untrue because of the shoes I'm wearing today. One is dog love, the other is pain.
Gavin, what do you think about Something?
I was one of the few optimistic commentators when it came to Andreas winning the Lithuanian selection. It's a well-structured song with Ian Curtis and Snow Patrol overtones. The main caveat is Andreas'
Ian
image.
Curtis? You mean he'll kill himself?
you never know.
Well, quite. He's Baltic.
He looks quite on the edge. The main caveat, going back to that, is his image. The magician worked better than the current rough boy look. For me, it was a little bit quirky, whereas now he's trying to be someone he's not. Lithuania can count on support from Ireland and the Eastern Bloc member states. Something should appeal to the Western audience also. But having watched the Eurovision in concert performance, Andreas looks well out of his depth. His mouth's in gear, but everything else is stuck in neutral. Lithuania are going home early if he doesn't perform and move his limbs in some kind of choreographed, rehearsed form.
I know exactly what you mean. Rob, Lithuania don't really have a very good Eurovision record compared to their neighbours Latvia and Estonia. Do you think that this will be a continuation of this?
No, I mean, I tend to agree with Gav on this one. This song has a nice indie vibe for me, and as an indie kid at heart, I personally like it. But in the context of this semi-final, I have doubts over Lithuania qualifying. Having been in Amsterdam at the weekend, as a live performer, as a live performer, Andreas is rather insipid, I would say. He's just not very engaging, and the song came across there as a bit lightweight. And also, I think it's potentially somewhat forgettable, squeezed between Montenegro and Belarus.
That's actually a very good point.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I don't think the song is anything special, but I'm actually, Rob, a fellow indie kid. Actually, the backing, particularly the guitars, and this will mean nothing to you two gentlemen, but they remind me a lot like a lot of Sweden's just about biggest band, which is a band called Kent. You haven't heard of them because they only sing in Swedish, but it's very similar to them. And I feel it would be a better song with a different singer. And, well, the video I saw, he looked like a stalker at the start. You know, just kind of shifty, and there's something in the eyes that you don't trust. Other than that, the backing, I think, i.e. the music should be higher during the verses. I think it's got a fair chance of qualifying, but no, I do take the point about being between Montenegro and Belarus, i.e. very up-tempo numbers. And even though, yeah, this kind of works for us indie kids, even with a creepy singer, it's certainly not a definite for me. Okay, now we move on to the next song. Some people think that this could be the second Belarusian winner, obviously after Alexander Rybak, who was born, I think he was born in Minsk. It's Wild Dances, the remix. It's Aliona Lanskaya with Solayo. Bob, your thoughts on Solayo?
Yeah, I've gone a little lukewarm on this, having initially thought it had a lot of promise. Again, seeing the live performance in Amsterdam, while Aliona's vocal seemed acceptable, it all came across as a bit low rent. She had four backing singers in these spangly jackets doing some pretty lame choreography. Suffice to say, it all looked a far cry from the benchmark for this sort of stuff, which is obviously Ruslana's Wild Dances for Ukraine, winner in 2004.
Oh yeah, it's nothing like that, really.
That said, I think Belarus is qualifying. You know, it has solid voting strength in this semi and should be able to rely on decent points from Russia, Ukraine, Moldova, also Lithuania, possibly Cyprus too.
Yeah, I mean, Rob says that it's nothing like Wild Dances. I said it's Wild Dances, the remix, basically because you wrote me the line and said you're sacked if you don't read it. So what do you have to say to Rob?
I do kind of agree with what Rob has said. When I first heard it, I, like a few other punters, having seen it in the 100-plus odds, went big on this because it showed promise. But it has cooled. Is that because the song, or is that because it's just kind of disappeared into the back of people's memories when Denmark, Russia, Ukraine and Georgia are tending to steal the headlines, and perhaps adding Italy to that list as well? In terms of its position in this semi-final, it's by far the best song in the second half of this semi-final. It's energetic, infectious, and possesses a strong summery vibe that will resonate strongly with the Saturday night TV audience. That bodes well, just means it won't perform particularly strongly in the semi-final, but I think it'll be a flyer when it comes to the final on Saturday. The choreography will be very important, and reports do suggest that this will be strong. I'm not certain the Eurovision in concert gave us the full picture. As with all of the upbeat entries, success will depend on Alonya's ability to mix vocals with dance. Viewers of last year's contest will remember Tuja's inability to maintain his breathing and therefore came last for Norway. So there is a balance to be struck, and Belarus need to strike that balance if they are to do well.
No, absolutely fair enough. I would say it's very strong. The chorus is almost kind of Latin-like, really. I mean, it starts with a kind of Eastern European introduction. Chorus almost Latin-like. What says more Latin summery number than a wet afternoon in Minsk? To be honest, it's not a winner for me. It's definitely top 10. It's definite qualifier, without a doubt. We also have to bear in mind that, well, sometimes when I think of Belarus, I just think, oh, it's an Eastern Bloc. They've got friends. They'll qualify, no problem. This is Belarus's 10th appearance, and they have only qualified for the final twice. So they don't really have as many friends we might suspect, really.
They are known for sending left-field songs or not widely accessible songs, though.
This is true, but hey, I mean, the ultimate example, what was the name of that Russian act who had the... He showed the picture of his granny mid-stage, I can't remember. Lost and Forgotten, that was the name of the song a few years ago, and that still qualified. Had that been from Belarus, that wouldn't have qualified, but we'll see. So, yeah, definite qualifier, but not a winner for me. Anyway, you wait ages for one Aliona, and then, naturally, two come along at once. It's Moldova, Aliona Moon, and Omiye. Lacrimi nu spală durerea de când te-am pierdut. De o mie de nopți m-a înghită tăcerea, ea vrea să te uit, îmi cere prea mult. Nu cred că este în trecut fiorul ce l-am avut. Prea un nou început între soare și plase n-ați de culori, dar noi vedem doar nori amintiri despre noi. Gavin, what do you think of Aliona Mark II?
In its first form, The Moon wasn't an exceptional song, but then they hid the bizarre lyrics about Mayans behind the Romanian language, and that has improved the song. It'll be the vocals that make or break this song. A respectable performance at Eurovision in concert has improved Moldova's chances. I'm still perched on the fence, but you can't rule them out.
No, I completely agree. I see this as a qualifier. It's worth noting it didn't win the televote in Moldova. That was Boris something or other. It wasn't a remarkable final in Moldova. I had the pleasure of watching it all, and oh my God. It's basically an unremarkable mid-tempo ballad, but with their friends in Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, sadly they don't have their bestest buddies in the whole world, in Romania. But I think it should qualify. Rob, would you agree with what Gav says?
Yes, I do. It seems like Aliona's singing this in Romanian because based on her live Amsterdam performance, she can cope with it much better in her native language as opposed to the Moldovan national final when she seemed to struggle with the song trying to sing it in English.
Her accent wasn't very good. I watched it live.
Yeah, she really did struggle. But like you were saying, Andy, it is a rather unremarkable ballad. And in a semi-final that is crammed full of solo female ballads, not to mention the Croatian tenors and the Danish song, it's certainly not assured of a strong jury score. But it does have a tendency to sneak through. And it does have some solid allies here in Belarus, Russia, and Ukraine. Italy has also shown some favour towards Moldova in previous contests. But it does look borderline at best to me. And I think the value currently resides on the not to qualify side. It was 2.6 not to qualify when I flagged it up on the site last week. I'm not sure what it is now.
Okay, now after we've reviewed four of the songs out of the eight, it's time for a new section. You can definitely fast forward this if you like, but it's what I like to call Scandi's Stat Attack. Today, we're looking at the fact that Sweden is hosting Eurovision for the fifth time. The main Scandi stat, and this is a term I hope to copyright, is that each time Sweden has hosted, the contest has been won by a northwestern European country. The Netherlands in 1975, Norway in 1985, Ireland in 1992, and Denmark in 2000. This really appears to bode well for the top two in the betting, which is of course Denmark and Norway. However, Finland's Krista Siegfrieds, with her ding-dong motif in her song, can take heart from the fact that the first time Sweden hosted, in 1975, the winning song was Ding-Ding-A-Dong by Teaching. However, worse news for Finland is that the only previous time the contest was hosted in Malmö in 1992, Paavo Majanen's Jamma Jamma finished dead last with 4 points. Swedes needn't be smug about this though. The 1992 contest also saw the host country achieve what was at the time the worst score ever by a host nation, 9 points. The song was called Imorgon är en annan dag. The singer? A certain Krista Björkman. Where is he now, I wonder? Finally, this year's presenter, Petra Mede, will have to go some to claim the title of bitchiest congratulations ever by a Eurovision host, currently held by the presenter of the 1985 contest in Gothenburg, Lil Lindfors. When Bobby Sox came back on stage to receive their prize, she literally said, "I'm honestly very happy that this happened, because Norway has been so last so many times." That's Scandinavian solidarity for you. And that was Scandi's Stat Attack. And now we move on to Ireland. I remember the mid-90s, particularly the period between 1992 to 1996. I tend to call them the farting dog years, i.e. Ireland could have entered a farting dog and still won Eurovision. Of course, the last couple of years, Ireland has entered the musical equivalent of a farting dog in Jedward. This time, they've gone for something different. Here's Ryan Dolan with Only Love Survives. World collide, don't be afraid. Your thoughts?
Eurosong was very poor this year, but Ryan's song was head and shoulders above the competition. That said, Only Love Survives is hardly groundbreaking. In fact, it is very, very dated. A recent live video showed Ryan with two male dancers. It looked very camp.
A mistake at Eurovision to be camp, though, is it?
But there's camp, and then there's Butlin's camp.
No, fair enough.
If Ireland are to achieve a respectable finish, or even qualify for that matter, because that isn't assured, they need to retain and expand on the more Celtic elements and expand the instrumentation. Something they did to great effect in Amsterdam when they had the dancer jig at the beginning.
Rob, would you agree with all of that?
Yeah, pretty much. His vocal definitely sounded ropey in the Irish final. And it wasn't convincing in Amsterdam at the weekend either. I think we were given a clue to the staging in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. He had these two male drummers who also dance, and they did this, what can only be described as sort of a river dance at the start. Okay. It looks like they're trying to push the song's ethno appeal, but ultimately, for me, it's a pretty bog-standard dance tune. Backing singers will no doubt help him. And Ireland's got some solid-looking voting strength in this semi. The UK, obviously, Sweden, Denmark, Austria. I think it'll probably go through, but I wouldn't be piling into the 2-5 Ireland to qualify, and I'd rather wait to see what it's like on stage in Malmö.
With that jig, I mean, I clocked the time at 3 minutes 30, so I'm not convinced that jig was meant to be there. I think it was a freestyle at the beginning, which is a concern because it was the best bit of the act.
I mean, surely if they do anything that's vaguely river dancey, if you like, surely the jury... the juries will see that a mile off and mark them down for just being cynical and reverting to past glories, won't they? It's just a thought. I mean, for me, I think it will qualify possibly as much to do with its position in the contest, i.e. its fourth last. I don't mind the song, which is actually quite rare for me because I'm an indie kid. Yeah, I really don't mind the song. He needs to do more on stage compared to the video that I saw. And his costume was drab and dull. Yeah, needs to move, sort out his dress sense. But generally, okay. Oh, no, it's not a winner. With really, really good positioning in the final and a much better performance in terms of both singing and moving and costume, etc., got an outside chance of top half, that's all. Now we move on to the country that, let's face it, has to enter every year because otherwise Greece wouldn't have anybody to vote for. Cyprus's entry this year is by Despina Olympio and it's called An Me Thymesai, which I believe translates as Please Don't Take My Savings Away. Here she is. An Me Thymesai. Bob, what do you think about Despina's song?
This falls into the same category as Moldova for me. I'm a bit more confident about Despina's vocal prowess compared to Aliona Moon. But ultimately, I just think it's a very bland ballad and it's going to be squeezed between two up-tempo tunes, isn't it, in Ireland and Belgium.
Yes.
So, you know, they could steal its limelight. And also, just the competition is so fierce among the solo females in semi one that, again, you know, a strong jury score is not a given. Added to which, Cyprus has a distinct lack of voting strength in this semi. It's only got.
I.e., they don't have Greece.
Yeah. It's only got the UK and Italy to rely on for some votes historically.
I would agree with that. When I first listened to this, I thought the first 20, 30 seconds were quite good. Starts with quite hypnotic vocals, and I quite like the simplicity of the start. But even when I listened to it with just the acoustic part, but to be honest, even when I was listening to that, and I thought, this is quite good, I did kind of think, this is going to turn into any other ballad. And I was right. So, yeah, I would say this is a marginal qualifier for me.
The latest draw is potentially a plus, Andy. I think that's...
Oh, no, absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, if it can scramble towards the top of the jury scoring, it's not without hope. But the point I made last week on the site was it was 3-1 to qualify at the time. And you've got Austria at 4-6. And Estonia at 11-10. So I'd say certainly compared to those two, it actually looks value to qualify, not to say that it will qualify.
Yes, I mean, I opined about Austria in particular last week, how I don't think it's worth those odds, quite frankly. But we shall see. I mean, that's the fun of Eurovision. It's, you know, we never know. Gav, would you agree with that?
I'd say Despina's song is nice enough, but it looks set to pass viewers by. It's dull, it's inaccessible to most of Europe. The instrumentation is uninspiring, and Cyprus will likely suffer having been positioned between the two upbeat entries from Ireland and Belgium. It reminds me of Bosnia last year, and had Bosnia's entry not been from Bosnia, and didn't profit from its regional allies, I think that would have failed to qualify. And likewise, I see the same from Cyprus this year. They don't have any allies, I doubt it will register with the juries either, as they're at least seven songs ahead of this. It's a non-qualifier for me.
Wait a minute, are you saying that Bosnia benefited from votes from its neighbours?
I'm suggesting...
Are you saying that? Take his press pass away, everybody. We'd like to point out that obviously there's no such thing as political voting. Everything is completely fair. And the fact that people tend to prefer their neighbours' songs is completely coincidental. Okay, we now move on to the next song. What can I say about this? We live in a dangerous world. There are many things out there that can kill you. Guns, knives, bombs, the voices of Belgian singers of Italian descent, and also, according to Roberto Berarosa, love kills. Here he is. Gav, I won't leave you out this time. What do you think of Roberto?
Roberto, as you said, really killed the presentation of this song. His vocals were abysmal. Thankfully, they've dropped the key change. I'm still suffering the tinnitus after effects. though the whole song is dire, disjointed and extremely dated. It reminds me of Josh Dubovy from 2010.
That's never a good thing, is it?
Yeah, and like Josh, Roberto doesn't look or sound good, and he doesn't look comfortable selling this genre. Even so, the position of Belgium does somewhat take the shine off Ireland. And if Roberto can nail the vocal, like he did at Eurovision in concert, OK, he didn't nail it, but it was a lot better. If he puts on a good stage show, Belgium could send Ireland home early. At this point, I'm saying non-qualifier, but I'm open-minded going to Malmo.
Rob, your thoughts?
Yeah, similar to Gav, really. His singing did sound much improved in Amsterdam, but he did have a backing track helping him, so it may have been a little deceptive. I also think this song has improved out of all recognition since its original incarnation. I think Roberto's biggest problem is that he maybe lacks a bit of stage charisma, seeing him perform in Amsterdam, but he does have a good draw in 15.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, voting strength is not good for Belgium in this semi. Other than the Netherlands, it can maybe get some points from Serbia and Estonia. But, it might be struggling for support in this semi.
It's interesting. When I watched the first performance and then when they released the video, they tried to make him out to be some kind of pop star and make him all kind of street cred. And it just did not suit him at all. But looking at him in Amsterdam, that more stripped back, well, I say not stripped back, but the performance just focused on him just seemed to look a whole lot better.
Mm. Yes, I mean, when it comes to voting strength, Rob, you were saying they don't have voting strength in this semi-final. To be honest, I don't think they do at all. It wouldn't matter who they got. The ultimate example being, I think it was 2006 with Kate Ryan, which was one of the favourites to win the whole contest, but didn't get through the semi-final.
Yeah.
All I would say, I find this quite a dull song. One of the co-writers of this song is Finnish. He wrote it 2 years ago and didn't even know that it had been entered for the Belgian contest until it won. So it wasn't exactly a kind of promising song to start with. The initial video that we saw when it was first announced was really quite horrible, wasn't it? So I'm glad he's improved, but I mean, yes, it's second last, but it's still going to struggle to qualify. I really think it will. And now we come on to the final song of the night. What can I say about this? In London at the moment, there's a fashion for what's known as pop-up restaurants. These are restaurants that take over a premises for about 2 months and then just go away again. In this spirit, Serbia have entered a pop-up band, a band that just simply exists for Eurovision and then will split up. Here we have Moje Tri with Ljubav je skura. Rob, what do you think about this pop-up band?
Yeah, I flagged this up on the site a couple of weeks ago as the value each way bet in this semi-final at 25-1. I see it's narrowed to 16-1. And based on how it sounded in Amsterdam, 16-1 still looks good each way value. The three ladies all appear vocally capable. I think the quality of the song holds up pretty well in the second half of this semi. And the most important thing, it's up tempo and it's the show closer. And then you look at Serbia's voting strength in this semi, and you know it should receive big points from the likes of Montenegro, Slovenia, and Croatia in particular. Probably Austria and Sweden as well.
What odds do you think you could get on Montenegro not giving Serbia 12 points?
Yeah, good question.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there's also this compelling stat, sorry, Andy, regarding the last song performed in semi-finals since the two semi-final format came in 2008. Seven out of 10 have finished in the top three. And when you get big voting strength aligning with the pimp slot, as we like to call it, it can prove a very powerful combination.
Even with that, do you think it's strong enough to knock Denmark out of the top place in this semi-final?
It's going to be tough, but I think it's got fantastic credentials to finish in the top three in this semi.
Absolutely, Gav?
I would echo pretty much everything Rob has said. We also mentioned the 25-1. Because it was staggering that the bookies were offering that on the day that the semi-final running order was announced.
Yeah.
And a number of our readers were commenting on it, and a number of our readers have got the bets down, including myself, at 25-1.
We're not really a website. We're more of a charity, aren't we? We help the poor.
We help the poor at Eurovision.
Yes.
On the flip side, girl bands don't have a great track record at Eurovision, though that's mainly because to date, most of them have sounded like drowning cats. In this trio, we do have credible singers, as well as glamour and the suggestion of decent choreography. If I could offer free advice to the Serbian delegation, it would be to recommend toning down the more racy elements of the stage presentation. Though in Amsterdam, it did seem as if there was a more sensible tone. It was M&S rather than New Look. Serbia should qualify with ease, and as we've previously suggested, top three beckons.
But do you think that, Eurovision voters, are they more M&S or New Look?
If you look at Austria last year, it was very sexy, glow-in-the-dark G-strings. It didn't go down very well with the Eurovision viewership. I just think anything seedy or anything slightly sexual, bearing in mind that a lot of Europe is very strong Catholic and Muslim, I think anything of a sexual nature just doesn't resonate with them at all.
Absolutely fair enough. My thoughts, it'll qualify definitely. For me, the production and vocals are definitely there. As you say, it's not a kind of chorus of cats at all. Very strong vocals. I'm just not personally certain there's much of a tune there. If there was a tune there, it would definitely favourite for me to win, or one of the favourites.
I would say the verse is the strongest part. It's certainly the chorus that is very weak, but the verse really helps, and it's certainly the Serbian language, it fits the song very well.
Absolutely. Okay, so that's the end of the first semi-final and our reviews. Now we come on to the always popular section, which we call Gav's Top Value. Gav, what have you got for us today?
Top tip would have to be the last song, Serbia, and you've just got to go and back it to win. There's still some cracking each way value. Just go and get it. You get at least 5-1 on a third place.
Rob, do you have any thoughts? Anything that you identified? We've already identified Serbia. Anything else?
It's a very good question, Andy. I think it's a very trappy semi-final, actually, in terms of, you know, trying to pick good value qualifying and non-qualifying punts. I tend to probably go back to Moldova still being valued not to qualify. I think I saw 13-8 earlier today with Bet365.
Sounds fairly good to me, because it's just unremarkable. There's a lot for me of unremarkable ballads in this semi in particular. And yes, it being as it is between two up-tempo songs, sorry, Aliona, you might go. Or maybe we'll have a two Aliona final. Anyway, that's the end of our second EskBet podcast. I'd like to thank our very special guest, Rob Ferber from entertainmentodds.com. Thank you so much, Rob.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you for making your time. And I'd like to thank the head honcho, Gav himself. Thank you, Gav.
Thank you, Andy, for hosting. Mm. And thanks, Rob, for turning up.
Indeed. The next podcast will be, well, whenever we damn well like. But believe me, it will be within the next week and possibly within the next few days. It depends on when we can organise it. But quite frankly, you're getting it for free, so don't complain. Anyway, it's a big farewell from me, Andy Redfern, and from Gavin Lambert, and from Rob Ferber. Goodbye.